If you want to be called life people, if you want to be called life people, this is what you do. You got to let go of past history. You got to make a world for you and me. You got to let go and be set free. You got to make a show. You got to let them know. So the foul, the faint, the feeble can share in it too. All right, you know what day it is and you know what time it is. That's right, it's the Insight Hour. Brought to you by BBSRadio.com and Tetrahedron.org and LiveH2O.org and all the other orgs and comms in the world that are brought to you by that man, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and his crew is working hard for you. This evening, folks, we have a guest. And after Dr. Len does the invocation, we are going to be discussing those things that are relevant, those things that are what? Making news. So, without further ado, Dr. Len, will you please come in and give us the invocation for this evening?
Well, thank you, Reverend Roxy. It's a pleasure to join you again. Thank you for joining us on the Insight Hour every, it's Tuesday night, midnight, on the East Coast, where I am, actually, tonight. And, Reverend Roxy, I think you're 6 hours away from me in the beautiful Big Island of Hawaii.
That's right.
You know, I have a friend tonight. We're going to be joined by Tariq Al-Hannadi, who is a Palestinian humanitarian. He's really somebody who I've known for many, many years, who's taken the forefront in trying to do whatever he can do in the Middle East to bring truth, justice, and something beyond the American way, something like a huge open heart for the whole situation over there. He's been putting his money, his time, his efforts into loving the people over there that are in great need of help. So we're going to be sharing the commentary tonight with Tariq, and he's also volunteered, interestingly enough. Creators brought us together. Here is a Jew tonight, myself, a Muslim, Tariq, you, Reverend Roxy. I would call you a very, very loving Christian. I don't know about what you would call yourself.
I'm a descendant of Abraham.
Yes, indeed. So, but we're going to be going into some commentary, looking at everything from tonight's Republican National Convention and what the kind of like sense is of the agenda for the political party that's being promoted big time tonight, and how it relates to what's going on globally, domestically, and in the Middle East, particularly with regard to the whole Palestinian and the Israeli issues that we can get some insight on from somebody who's been really spending quite a bit of time there. And he is volunteered to work with us on Live H2O, the Concert for the Living Waters. Folks, if you have not gone on to liveh2o.org recently, you'll find some updates on there. And this is the Concert for the Living Waters that we're planning for June 19th to the 21st, 2009, to take this planet back. There's got to be some way that we can reverse what is ailing us, cure, remedy it, and indeed there is. It's a major concert, a global baptism with the love frequency 528 vibrating through all the oceans that we're planning to put in the oceans by your voice joined in unity with our virtual global family here online. Will be BBS Radio will be carrying. In fact, BBS Radio, I spoke to Don Newsom today, my sister Reverend Roxy and those listening. But Don Newsom, you may know, is the fellow who is engaged in bringing BBS Radio to the airways, and he is the chief cook and bottle washer, you might say, at BBS, and he's volunteered to bring BBS to the forefront of broadcasting Live H2O. Whatever video we're going to be feeding, and by the way, the Democratic and Republican National conferences have given us this entire new wonderful concept with regard to the upcoming Concert for the Living Waters, is that you can blog and you can broadcast high definition directly to the internet. You can stream like they're doing right now from various angles. That conference in St. Paul, Minneapolis, and they're beaming it out there over the internet for free. We don't even need the networks anymore. We don't need to have the advertising on the networks. All we need Reverend Roxy, is what your dear father had told us. We can produce miracles from nothing. You want to share us a little bit? I understand that this is a day that you have in your memory of your dad, don't you?
Oh, yes. This is the day he passed in prime time, right about 9:20 San Francisco time on September 2nd. I was on an Indian reservation making fry bread in the rain, getting ready to sing that favorite Temptation song for the next day, the 3rd of September, the day I'll always remember, for that is the day my daddy died.
Wow.
Although he died on September 2nd. And for those people who really understand what it is to have a father, you know that he leaves for you many memories and moments. And the one that he left me most is his creed, which is, we the unwilling, who have been led by the unqualified, have been doing the unbelievable for so long, with so little, we now attempt to do the impossible with nothing. And I have, since he has passed, tried to exemplify that. And I know you know, Dr. Len, that we've had a whole lot of nothing, but we've done a whole lot of good.
You bet. And that's the whole concept. I mean, think about this, folks. For the first time in history, we're actually able to capture a global audience over the Internet for free. And so that's part of the concept. And on Friday, just to give you a little bit of an introduction, not only to my friend Tarek, who will be joining us in a minute, but also this concept of the concert that shall set us free. You see, it starts on Friday. We've got about right now, out of 24 hours of programming to fill, we probably have about 12 to 15 of those hours already filled with wonderful experts from around the world who are going to sing praises and glory and bring the truth about H2O, the living waters, about how miraculous it is and what we can do with it to free ourselves in every way and prosper in every way. The second day is the 20th of June, 2009. This is the peak of the summer solstice where we've invited many, many wonderful bands. And by the way, this past week I met with not only Arlo Guthrie, I met with Paul Winter, Grammy Award winner Paul Winter, who is very excited also about studying the 528 frequency, which we're going to be putting into the water. That's the love tone or the love frequency. And that also, Reverend Roxy, somebody that you would love to meet and certainly sing with and perform with, Grammy Award winning Native American producer and director and vocalist and songwriter, miraculous man, wonderful man named Bill Miller. So I spent some time with him this week, too, actually in prayer, and we've got his support. We've got a number of other wonderful people that are coming on and saying that they will perform for the Concert for the Living Waters. We have a venue in New York shaping up on the Hudson. We have a venue as of this week shaping up right now. As a matter of fact, we've got in Brazil, we have the top Brazilian entertainer, vocalist, who is very conscious and very much behind this whole water concert, this live H2O. And that beyond that, of course, we've got Vienna. We've got on the Danube in Vienna, we've got the Nile River in Uganda, the source of the Nile. We're working on, as a matter of fact, this past week also, Dr. Emoto, the famous Japanese water scientist who does the crystallography, has gotten back with us and said indeed he'd love to participate. He's looking forward to it. He's also planning a concert in 2010 in Japan, and he's going to try to acquire the same venue for the Summer Solstice Live H2O concert. So there's things shaping up globally. We had Lake City, Florida, come in with a 50-acre estate next to a big lake in Florida, and Florida's all about water, basically. It's all over the place down there, and that is another venue. It appears that we're going to have many, many more venues than the 9 that we set a goal to achieve. I know in the Big Island of Hawaii, Reverend Roxy, you're going to be working the probably our place. You know, if push comes to shove, we'll have it on the 27-acre estate of the Royal Bloodline of David.
How did you guess?
Yeah, you bet. If Fei Hanohano, you know, comes through with some wonderful venue other than that, maybe the county would like to participate in some way. That would be wonderful. But anyway, we're still going for Vancouver. We want something in the Philippines. We'd like to have something in China. As I said, we've got something about to emerge from India. So we've got the concert for the Living Waters coming together for the actual musical event is primarily on Saturday, and then on Sunday, the 21st of June, is what the voluntary work that Tarek has said he would be pleased to do. He's got a brother who is engaged currently in seeing if he can line up something in Egypt also. But the Sunday event is all about prayer. It's about chanting in a unified voice to bring the planet back together again and bring the planet back to love again. And that is the most important function, the most important purpose in everyone's life. Your folks listening, this is the most you can bear witness to it. The most important thing in your life is for you to have love and a relationship with your Creator. And then to bring that love and that personal relationship with Creator into your personal relationships with your brothers and sisters. And to experience the joy and the heartfelt, intense communion, the divine human communion that can be expressed interpersonally is what we all long for. And we attempt to do that in some wonderful way, benefiting others, that is of human service. And that's what life, that's the mission, that's the purpose of what life is really about, and that's the best of life, and that involves both love and joy, and that's the 528 hertz frequency that we've discovered is the core creative frequency of the universe. And on Sunday, June 21st, the experiment, the goal, the mission, is to turn our oceans on with the human voice of love and thanks, gratefulness, and joy, to create, co-create a better world, a world at peace, not at war, a world in health, not in disease, and beyond that, a world of prosperity endless instead of this deception and illusion of lack and deficit. So we have the opportunity to literally use the core creative frequencies. And this one particularly, the 528 hertz frequency, where 9 venues around the world with people, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people at each venue, are going to be joined online by 144,000 voices broadcasting through the online temple that we currently already have up. And this past week we added the tuner, the 528 hertz tuner, onto that website. So it's easy for you if you're a musician and you want to engage in a local community concert, and there'll be many, as I mentioned, being formed, where local people are going to participate at local bodies of water and be able to broadcast, and through Don Newsom and BBS Radio and the other backup headquarters that we'll have online, because we're going to have at least 2 so that nobody fools around, nobody knocks it off the air. We may even have 3 central stations. And so what the feeds will do, we'll have directors working, technicians working the feeds coming from all over the world to broadcast for 3 straight days, 72 hours. And on the third day, this past week, from the Big Island of Hawaii, we got word that Rinpoche has agreed to lead the experiment for 81 minutes, where we join the vocal voices, the unified voices from around the world. We join each other in a chant and a prayer for world peace, harmony, love, health, and prosperity. Through the Living Waters, we chant love and thanks, and it's going to be carried by sound systems, and the audiences are going to join. Their feed is going to go into the main systems at the various venues, and then they will be then sent via the electronics into the Keeley Tesla technology that our brother Moshe Daniel has produced. So we're essentially going to be using Tesla technology to put our voices into all the waters of all the world, and they're going to resonate. We're going to create a love potion like never seen on this planet. We're going to bless the entire planet with that love vibration. It's going to be a global baptism. And the reason why it's going to be that whether you participate or not, you're going to get it, is because, you see, that frequency is going to be so intense. It's already, the ocean's already got love. All the waters already have love. But what the Creator has been waiting for is human beings, you and I, to advance in our consciousness and our level of understanding and loving devotion far enough to where we can then harmonize and bring our voices to bear with a positive, heartfelt, loving intent to change this planet for the better, and put that intent, that love, that joy, that thanks into the living waters so that it now resonates. And when that body of water resonates, there is a thing in the universe called resonance. It is the second note of the original musical scale. It used to be ut re mi. Now it's do re mi. The re stands for resonance fibris in Latin, or resonance in English. And what's going to happen when the body of water that large all over the planet resonates? You see, a whale in Hawaii can talk to its mate or friend in South Africa through a whale song because water is a superconductor. It resonates and vibrates so dramatically that it echoes and it sends out broadcasts that magnificent love frequency vibration better than any medium in the entire universe. And so when that starts to vibrate, your body, folks, you're listening right now as a human being, well hydrated, your body is about 80% creative juice, 80% water. And when the crystal structures of the oceans are going to vibrate with that added measure of love, it's going to open the floodgates for the spiritual renaissance to accelerate unlike anyone has ever seen or predicted. The resonance frequency is going to touch all of humanity. And your chakras, your energy centers, your whole body electric, your electrogenetics, everything is going to shift into love, into the channel of 528, which is the clear channel broadcast to the heavenly throne. And when that happens, let me tell you something. John Lennon's prophecy of instant karma is going to get you. Number nine is going to come to fruition. Nine completion, where we spiral up from earth into the wholeness of heaven. And the only people that are going to have a hard time are those who have not prepared themselves in their hearts to receive that glorious blessing. Those people with blocked hearts and dissonant energies where their chakras are spinning, wobbling, the reality is that they're going to have either heart failure, their hearts are going to explode, or they're going to implode by their dissonance. The other folks, those of you who have been doing your homework, you know who I'm talking to and you know what I'm talking about. That is, you've been ransomed. That means you've done your homework. You paid your dues. You've been trying to perfect yourself and be a better human being and advance your intelligence and your consciousness to the point where you can now be a loving, total, capable, worthy person who is capable of giving and receiving love to the max. That's what we've wanted. Again, it goes back to what we really, really all want, is that reconnection with our divine source, with love, and this interpersonal connection and expression of this divinity throughout humanity to bless the sovereignty of this miraculous manifestation we call the human being. So this is what's going to happen. Those of us who have done our homework, whose hearts are already open, who are already spinning in the frequency of love, we're going to have fun. And certainly it's not going to be happy seeing some of these people around us dying, because there's two-thirds of the world population currently not only targeted for elimination by the Illuminati, but essentially that's what's going to happen by prophecy. Revelation talks about it. Revelation talks about this concert in Revelation 14:1. It's 144,000 humble servants of the Creator that sing a new song in such a way as to instantaneously and miraculously deliver this entire planet back to the Creator. And that's what this new song, that's what this new concert, the concert of the living waters, is really all about. I can't think of a better way to bring this closing act to completion, to fruition, for the beginning, not the end times, the beginning times of the Messianic age. There's nothing missing, nothing broken in the kingdom of heaven. We're going to bring it down to earth. We're going to open the floodgates. We're going to open the doors that no man can close with the key, the musical note, to the house of David. This is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So I'm privileged to be with my sister, Reverend Roxy Hampton, on the Inside Hour with Don Newsom from BBS Radio Network, that's donated the entire network to support Live H2O. You'll be hearing more and more about it. We ask for your prayers and we ask for your support in every way, from sharing this with caring people to those who would co-sponsor with us and maybe even present us with a financial donation so we can pay for the little things that we need to pay for to make this all happen. By the grace of the Creator, it's all fallen into place because the steps of the righteous, the right standing ones, you're standing in the law, guess what happens? You're in the flow, you're in the synchronicity. And all of the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Creator and everything falls into place. You probably, if you've been a fan of the Inside Hour, you know what I'm talking about already. Your life now is miraculous. You see it every day. Synchronicities, wonderful things. Again, I've told you this for months and years. You ain't seen nothing yet. When we open those floodgates, it's going to be the fulfillment of Yeshua's blessed prophecy. Jesus said, you shall do more than what I have done. And I've said for a long time, if these are the end times, Christian community, if not now, when? When shall we do more? Well, this is the time. And so we're really beginning to fully receive and appreciate and express, actualize this magnificent potential that we have to do more than what our Messiah has done. So with having said that, let me just finish with a little bit of a prayer here. Praise you, Heavenly Creator, for giving us this opportunity to be together with our brother who is a Muslim, Tariq Al-Hanady. He is a dear brother of the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, your people, Heavenly Creator, part of your 12 tribes. Maybe there's a 13th lost, but I know it's all part of your heavenly kingdom. And you have a desire for your people to who are in covenant with you, in a contract with you, to prosper, to be prospered in all ways, the people who are righteous and right standing. So I thank you for this opportunity to be with my most righteous sister, Reverend Roxy Hampton, with Don Newsom from BBS Radio, with Tariq Al-Hanady tonight, talking about the Palestinian issue, as well as Live H2O. And I want to thank all the listeners. I want a special blessing and anointing for all the listeners out there who feel in their hearts it's appropriate to support the Ocean Resonance Project, whereby we resonate and then entrain, literally entrainment, have all the hearts of humanity open up with the frequency vibration of your divine love, Heavenly Creator, through this project, the Concept of the Living Waters. May you bless the people listening tonight to hear the call of your love and your direction and your guidance to support in every possible way the transformation of this planet, to be blessed rather than cursed by the demonic deceptive forces that currently, unfortunately, wage a bitter propaganda war for the minds of man. We praise you, for Heavenly Creator, for bringing us all the glorious truths that shall set us free and empower all those listening to receive the full measure of anointing and gifting and prospering, so that we are all the frontline peacemakers in your total heavenly army. We praise you, Heavenly Creator, for all this blessing. And we thank you in Yeshua's blessed name, and in your name we trust. Amen.
Amen.
So, Reverend Roxy, if you want to share anything else before we bring in our guest.
No. Without further ado, let's get this man on board.
All right, please. Let's have Tariq. Are you listening with us tonight?
I am right here. And
Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Well, assalamu alaikum to you, too.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, so Tariq, give us a little bit of background about you. Have been an activist in the Palestinian support and humanitarian effort going to the Middle East, and you've also been a viewer and a commentator with regard to what the American political scene is in relation to what's going on in the Middle East. First of all, give us a little bit of background about yourself and how you got started in this advocacy for humanity.
Sure. I am originally from Egypt. I was born and raised there and came to the United States for studies. I finished my undergraduate and graduate work in the United States and started working and getting married and been married to the same lovely wife for 41 years now, and I think a great deal of time that I do spend in trying to spread the word of the freedom that is available in the United States of America and the ability to think freely rather than be constrained by different thoughts and different ideas. Unfortunately, the last few years, this trend is changing, and I find that a lot of the actions that are happening specifically after 2001 and 9/11, there has been a tremendous shift in the ideology of the American way of life. The morals of the American constitutions are being compromised. The idea of freedom is getting to be redefined, and there are documents coming out of Washington, like the Privacy Act or the Patriot Act, I believe it's called, and it's far from being patriotic because it delves into individual lives and it strips away the protection and privacy of individuals, to the point where we're all exposed to and in the midst of harm's way at any time by anybody without due process of law. And if you take a look at what is going on in the Middle East, I'll revert back to how I got started into being interested in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict in particular. That was around 1988. It was the first Intifada, and I was watching the news on the radio, on the television, and I saw Israeli soldiers shooting at Palestinian children running in gutters out of the constrained areas or camps that they were settled in. It was like a curfew, and they couldn't go for days to get milk or water or food or medicine. And so the families were sending kids to go out and get milk and get food and get medicines for the elderly people in there. And the Israeli soldiers were shooting at them. And I said that this is something that there's something very weird happening here and something very unjust. And I started getting involved in this issue and trying to see what the roots of it are and how it can be eradicated or resolved or some kind of reconciliation arrived at. I joined a couple of organizations. Mobilization for Survival was the first one, and then I'm now a member of the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is headquartered in Nyack, New York, and an interfaith group that believes and practices nonviolence and reconciliation and conflict resolution. And since 88, I have led several delegations over to the Palestine and Israel, and so everything that's happening on the ground. And over the last 20 years, the situation has deteriorated by milestones of disaster. And so I think we are at a point now, or I'm personally at a point now, where I think that the only way this conflict could have survived for this long a time is that it's some kind of an experiment in trying to determine means and ways of controlling people, constricting people, defining their daily actions, dictating what they do every day, and basically imprisoning an entire population, if not an entire country. Unfortunately, it is happening to the Palestinians, and the disguise is behind the idea that Israel is a promised land for the Jews, and nobody else should be living there except them. And when they got into the, when I first got into that, when they were progressively being expelled from many other nations, especially in Europe, they decided that this is the reason that they want to have a home. And once that occurred, rather than acknowledge the existence of the Palestinians and working together, they decided to replace them or progressively kill them off or do the experiment that I'm talking about, which is the conflict that has been lasting for over 60 years now without resolution. Basically, what is happening there is an oppressor, which is Israel. The oppressed are the Palestinians. And it's very difficult to constrain an entire population to the point where at times they don't have enough water to drink for days and expect them to sit quietly. Even when on a daily basis their lands are being confiscated on the premise that either they didn't have a permit to build a little shack or a house or something, disregarding completely the deeds that prove that the Palestinians actually had this land in their families for hundreds of years, they just confiscate the land. They have situations there where there are entire towns that are not registered, which means that if you live in one of those towns, you really don't have a home. You don't exist there as far as the Israeli government is concerned. It's a very complex system.
You know, Tark, you probably have had a number of experiences of persecution even against yourself living here in the United States, being Egyptian and Muslim and having a position in favor of the Palestinians. Do you want to share any of that?
Well, it comes in many different ways, and the simplest one is when there is any rift or there is any conflict happening in the Middle East, when people know that I'm really more of a peacemaker than an ogre or a hawk, people are talking or sort of doing something, you all of a sudden come into a room and complete silence. That's a very common thing that happens to a lot of the Muslims and a lot of the peace activists in the area. The other thing, is, of course, is as far as work issues. Maybe myself as a recruiter, I have seen it a lot because I would send people on jobs, and if their name is Ahmad or Muhammad or Abdul Hamid or Abdu or any of those names, very, very rarely are they taken on. And unless they have a very, very specific expertise that is non-existent in with other qualified individuals. Other than that, the usual stuff, if you want to be a member of the yacht club, for example, or a Rotary or any of that. I lived in this town for a number of years, and I know a lot of people in it, but I was never invited for a Lions Club or a Rotary Club to become a member. And they are usually asking for people to join those places.
Yeah. Let me interject something also, folks, a little bit of history. And again, my heart has always been with the Jewish people because I am one of the Jewish people. And it is really beautifully stated by Yeshua by Jesus, he said, beware of those who call themselves Jews who are not. And in essence, that's what we're really looking at as a global beast, the military, medical, petrochemical, pharmaceutical cartel is directed by those who call themselves Jews, such as Henry Kissinger, who are not. The reality is there are many, many others that are alleged to be Jews or who even proclaim themselves as Jewish when they're really not. And so the issue that I'm looking at is the history. And Reverend Roxy, I think you're a scholar in some of the historic facts. You know that it was the Israeli Irgun, the underground, the secret organization, intelligence network for the Israeli army back in World War II that held a dossier on Rockefeller and Rockefeller Standard Oil Company's partnership with IG Farben, Germany's leading industrial organization that for all practical purposes was the Third Reich. Their top officials were the top SS. And that the Bayer Corporation's director that started IG Farben was Hermann Schmitz, who held more shares of Rockefeller Standard Oil stock than any of the individual Rockefellers held. And that by a U.S. federal court, they pronounced the Rockefeller cartel the treasonous and enemy national against the United States of America for supporting Hitler's regime even far more than he was, the Standard Oil was giving the Brits the fuel that they had requested. So that this is the history, and the history of how Israel became a nation is well written in the book by Ahrens and Loftus. The history has been published by St. Martin's Press. It's a very legitimate press. And Ahrens and Loftus are very esteemed authors. John Loftus is an attorney. And he's a war crimes investigator, a Nuremberg trial investigator. And that these folks have laid out in The Secret War Against the Jews, and I've drawn on that information in a number of my previous works, such as Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare, and Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse. You begin to realize that how Israel became a nation was by blackmail. You see, the leaders of the Hebrews and the Jewish people that needed to have a place, they did not follow what Tariq is talking about here. They simply, they themselves were at virtually at the last course of for survival. Their entire existence was on the being challenged and at great risk. And so, in fact, you might recall that there was no nation around the world that really openly and open-heartedly accepted the Jewish people. So what ended up happening is that Rockefeller was blackmailed 48 hours before the United Nations vote on whether or not they would create the State of Israel. The folks from the Irgun marched into his office with the dossier and said, if you don't establish a voting bloc in favor of the creation of the nation of Israel, then we are going to expose you globally for the genocide that your company, Exxon today, SO, Standard Oil Company, which of course is simply part of the global cartel, so that you've got the British royalty and you've got the European royalty with Shell and Mobil and all these other companies allied with Rockefeller, Standard Oil, and you've got them then being pressured and blackmailed to deliver the vote that created the State of Israel. And they damned the Palestinians. It was not about, and it's never been about, creating Yisrael, which means where the lion lies down with the lamb, where you have peace. From the beginning, the nation of Israel was created out of the negativity of genocide against the Jews, the negativity of the whole concept of blackmail against one of the worst global menaces, the IG Farben Rockefeller petrochemical cartel that literally ran Auschwitz. and that this is now how Israel got its start and direction, and under the control it continued to receive by Rockefeller, by the old Rothschild money, by the global elite. They continued to dictate policies in the state of Israel. So you don't really have the Jewish people, per se, to blame any more than the American people currently can be blamed for what the Bush administration has conducted. In fact, stealing, as they have done, the elections.
Yeah, I have to agree with you there. And in many of the travels and the correspondence that I have with the Israelis, they are on a complete opposite track than what the government is doing. And it is amazing how a government can isolate the people and the people's desires completely from what they are doing. But we are under the same influence here in the United States right now, where our entire effort on the outside, especially as far as armed forces are concerned, is a contracted job to 5% of the people, and nobody is got a vote in whether to continue the war or not continue the war. The people are there. We're losing our troops over there. People are getting killed. There's over 4,200 people, armed forces dead.
Let me actually add something to that.
What's that?
Let me add something to that. Folks, it came across my desk. There's been a total tally of how many people, Americans, have died and or been literally mortally wounded or morbidly, chronically made ill. In fact, many currently, from the Gulf Wars, starting with the 1990 invasion of Iraq by George H.W. The reality is we're looking at millions of Americans. They tell us now that only 4,000 some odd had given their lives, and of course the Republican National Convention tonight had a big American propaganda promotion campaign about how wonderful it is to be John McCain, a hero, a war hero, and a prisoner of war that survived. And the reality is it's not particularly appropriate when who you're fighting for is a for-profiteering gang of genocidalists. It has nothing to do with country. And sadly, if you look at the parallels, what was being promoted is country first. Country first, country first is the big slogan for the Republican National Convention and McCain's election. And when you consider the fact that it was exactly like the same exact meaning, Deutschland über alles, Deutschland über alles, Deutschland über alles, Germany first, country first, country first. This is a complete parallel. It's history remaking itself. And the reality is that these people that they're killing are all across the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob blood lineage. They're killing all of us. And so this is part and parcel of what's taking place, not just in the Middle East, but here it's affecting every single one of us in America. What's your take on this whole Republican platform? You have some opinions on that, Tariq.
Oh, I think it was ridiculous. I studied the Democratic platform last week, and I made comparisons as to what how it evolved from one year to another or from one election to another, and it sounded quite reasonable, and a lot of what they have in there is maybe utopian, but if we can reach at least 50% of that platform, will be wonderful, in great shape. And then I wanted to do the same thing with for the Republican platform for 2008, and I find that basically they are adopting the Republican platform of 2004. The date was August 30th, and from 2004 to now, regardless of what has happened, there has been no change in the platform, and the statement is that they are going to change the platform based on whatever comes out of the Republican National Convention. which doesn't make sense at all, because right now the entire world is in a different dimension completely than what it was in 2004. The countries that are involved are different. The different the economy is different. The entire shape of what is taking place in Iraq and other parts of the Middle East, Afghanistan and Pakistan, is completely different than what it was in 2004. But yet,
so what you're saying is that they've adopted the 2004 Republican platform for the 2008 election, with one statement saying that they're going to, at the convention, add or modify, and what we can see from watching television tonight, that it's all about military.
It's all military, and it's all war. And their statements are very direct as far as we have to maintain war, war as one of the main items on the agenda for the United States, for the Republican Party, for everybody. And without it, they don't have a platform, basically.
Right.
You know, that's also the rhetoric as far as education, lower taxes, better health, et cetera. These are rhetorical in a way. It's just words, and some of it will happen, some of it won't happen. But the basic theme is to continue the war and to continue the occupation, because there are no armies that we are fighting. We're fighting a ghost. We're fighting a ghost that doesn't exist. And so we're going to occupy different countries because we believe that there might be a chance that insurgency could erupt in those places. But the insurgency can erupt in any place.
So insurgency is exactly what is the problem being created by primarily the British Secret Service operating the CIA and the other terrorist organizations. They're funding them. They're funneling both the weapons as well as the whatever fuels that they need to keep going. And the sad reality is that most people have no clue that this is the case. They buy into the propaganda line. Looking at the Republican National Convention tonight, it was all about how McCain is a hero for sending additional troops going against his even own party, against Democrats. He said, the maverick, they called him tonight, the sole savior of our political system, they basically called him tonight, and they basically got on the fact that he had ordered more and more troops, and they declared victory tonight. Tonight, if you were watching the Republican National Convention, you would think that we won over in Iraq. And that's absolutely ridiculous. People are still dying. As our troops withdraw, you're going to still have the shadow governors pulling the political strings over there with creating additional insurgency, unrest, and genocide. And so, you know, it's such propaganda.
It's sad to see, because a lot of the listeners and a lot of the viewers following the media don't actually go beyond what they hear or what they see in order to research anything or to understand the issues a little bit more. So they have to take everything that they see as dictum and as factual. And I'll leave you with one thought. Back in 1987 or 88, that was the time of the Intifada. At that time, Arafat and his clan, the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, was operating out of Tunis because they weren't allowed in the country. And they were issuing a daily, strategies for action, for strikes, for action to divert things and just control the population that way. However, at the same time, a new group started coming up with opposing strategies to what they are receiving from Tunis. That group was financed, was formed, and was acting on behalf of the Israelis. And that group grew to the point where They are today's Hamas.
Yeah, see, this is exactly what the CIA does. It's not really, you know, when we say Palestinians, folks, we're talking about people. When we talk about the Israelis, we're talking about people. But when we talk about the government of Israel, or we talk about the terrorist organizations that allegedly represent the Palestinians or the people that you would want or think should stand and fight for their own rights and sovereignty and health and viability, well, you see, it's all political. It's Machiavellian. You create the problem, you fund the terrorist organizations, you create the problems, and then you create the solutions that are going to make big, big money for your private contracting corporations, such as Halliburton. This is what the Bush administration has done and continues to do. And it's not just the Bush administration.
Oh, speaking of Halliburton, the latest, which was sometime early this year, they moved their headquarters to Dubai. What that means is that all the services that they are rendering to the U.S. armed forces anywhere in the world, which is a few billion dollars worth, they don't pay taxes on.
Yeah, right. Well, this is exactly what they do. It's all multinational corporate greed and genocide. Listen, we've only got a couple of minutes, so I've
got
to close the show.
Not even a couple of minutes, Dr. Len. We have 1 minute.
All right, we've got 1 minute.
But so, I will say this. We'll take two, because I want one.
All right. All right, well, then I'll
give
you...
I would like to continue this conversation.
I appreciate this.
For us to take a whole insight hour and perhaps work with Don Nikoloff and Evident Footprint and have our guest and maybe somebody that Don can come up with and have a real discussion on Palestine. I mean, not that this wasn't one, but I would love to be able to get in the fray.
Wonderful. Well, let's do that. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. We've got to wind it up. I want to thank HealthyWorldStore.com. If you'd like to support the Insight Hour and my continued work, go online at www.HealthyWorldStore.com and buy something. Buy a book, buy a DVD, buy a CD. Buy something that's going to help you and your family. Buy OxySilver. Join OxySilver.com. www.OxySilver. Get in now. It's just launched. What a fabulous way to save lives and be prospered. OxySilver.com. And again, I want to thank Don Nikoloff, who's coming up, for being an awesome producer executive for Tetrahedron Records. We've got some wonderful things happening with Tetrahedron Records, and that's some of the things that you're going to be learning about in future Inside Hour programs. Stay tuned for Don Nikoloff and Evident Footprints. Thanks to, again, Don Newsom, BBS Radio, and thank you, Tarek, for joining us on the Inside Hour. Talk to you next week, folks. Love you. Bye for now.